Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's good to have you with us on this Friday morning, June the 22nd. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock. This hour, we will talk about puppies. Who doesn't love puppies? Well, apparently some big breeders care more about their bottom line than they do about the dogs they have and the puppies they bring into the world. That's according to our guest this hour, who says more needs to be done to regulate what she calls, what critics call, puppy mills. Later in the program, we will also hear from a state lawmaker who agrees, and we want to hear from you. Does the commercial pet breeding industry need to be cleaned up? Are these operations cruel? Have you ever had an experience with an unethical breeder who perhaps sold you a very sick puppy? Are you a pet breeder who worries about this proposed or possible legislation? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Eileen Ribbons Rowdy, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Puppy Mill Project. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is your definition of a puppy mill?
We consider a puppy mill to be any breeder who is breeding solely for profit and selling to anyone with the cash.
Yeah. So that could be just the farmer down the road that has a a couple of dogs?
Well, not necessarily. It depends on the conditions that the animals are kept into. We do understand that there are people who are responsible and have occasional litters of dogs. And it all depends on how those dogs are treated, how the adult breeder dogs are treated, and how the puppies are handled from the time they're born until the time they're sold.
Yeah. So what's the problem?
Well, Wisconsin has a huge pet industry that is completely unlicensed, unregulated, and uninspected.
Yeah.
It's a free-for-all.
And what problems result from this lack of regulation?
Well, first of all, the adult breeder animals are often kept in abysmal conditions, in cages that are too small. They are not allowed out, so they're basically living in their own filth. They are usually fed the poorest quality food, not given adequate amounts of clean water. They're not exposed to the basic amenities that a pet animal should have, like sun and grass and being able to run around a little bit once in a while. These animals get stressed out, and due to their stress and the poor conditions that they're in, the poor food that they're given, they usually produce puppies that are not of very good quality, may have genetic defects, do not get proper vet care, because it's all driven by the bottom line, and that's the dollars. So the less amount of money that these folks can put into the operation, the more profit they make.
Yeah. You have experience with getting a puppy from an operation like this?
Yes, about 10 years ago, I got a Dalmatian puppy that had been bred in a Wisconsin puppy mill and sold in a Wisconsin pet shop. By the time I got him, he was malnourished, and his muscles in his back and his legs were atrophied.
Yeah. And is that what prompted or motivated you to get involved in this cause?
Yes, it did. I called the state because the things that my vet was telling me about the way this animal had been treated and the lifelong problems that I could expect from that treatment really concerned me. And I thought, like most citizens, there must be a law. So I called the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection and spoke with Dr. Yvonne Belay. And she said, you know, I get these calls every day, and there truly is nothing that we can do. There is no licensing or inspection or regulation of these facilities. So I'm very sorry for your experience, but you know, basically what you need to do is talk to your legislators. And that's pretty much taken me on a 10-year journey.
Yeah. And legislators are apparently listening.
They are. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful for the attention that our Wisconsin legislators are paying to this problem right now. We are grateful for the media for bringing the issue to the public's attention.
We're going to take calls from listeners. Apparently, a lot of people are interested in this particular issue. We are talking with Eileen Ribbons-Rowdy, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Puppy Mill Project, who is advocating for legislation to regulate breeders in Wisconsin, what she calls puppy mills. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Should the pet industry in Wisconsin be regulated? Should pet breeders need to have some sort of license and guidelines to follow? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. Podcasting. I am. Downloadable ringtone. The language of today's technology, and chances are your kids are fluent, but are you? After 5, Ben Marins and his guest will talk about this new technology and how you can make the most of it with your family. That's after 5 this afternoon. We're talking about regulating puppy mills with Eileen Ribbons-Rowdy. Been mispronouncing our guest's name, I apologize. Executive Director of the Wisconsin Puppy Mill Project. And our first caller is Fred in Madison. Hi, Fred, you're on the air.
Well, I'm so pleased that you have this program on. I was born in the Netherlands, Holland. Every dog, every cat has a passport. The passport has all the detailed information about the dog. All of it, all the shots, where it came from, the heritage, the diseases, etc. It is high, high time that the puppy mills are closed. They should be treated like nursing homes, like bars. They should be certified. They should be regulated and inspected also. Besides that, the puppies should be registered with the canine organizations which supervise these different brands. I'm also very much in favor of the Westminster puppy shows and dog shows. They always stress quality. And we stress quality in humans. We should also stress quality in puppies. Out with the puppy mills.
A reaction, Eileen?
Well, I'm appreciative of Fred's comments, and it is true that the European nations are much further along in their compassionate treatment of animals than we are here in Wisconsin. We have some lessons we could learn from those European nations.
Yeah. And what is it, do you have a specific proposed bill that you would like to see passed?
There are several options on the table right now. What we are specifically interested in is setting a number that determines at what point licensing and inspection is started. And we feel that anybody who is selling more than 35 puppies a year or has more than 20 dogs on their property should be licensed and inspected. That has been proposed by us, but we are in the process of talking to other stakeholders. We want input from quality breeders, from dog clubs, from people who are in dog sports. We are getting input from humane societies and breed rescue groups, from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and trying to come up with something that is fair and equitable for everyone.
Thanks to Fred. Tom in Columbus is with us next. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Joy, and your guest. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
First of all, I think that, you know, there may indeed be some work to be done as far as, you know, looking at these, but there are plenty of laws on the books against mistreatment of animals. I think the onus is upon the buyer, whether it be the individual or the pet store who's selling to the public to, you know, you come to, we shopped for a puppy, my wife and I. We went to a dozen different breeders. Not once did we see any different, any miserable conditions. And I think the owner should be on the buyer. If they see something that doesn't look good, whether it be conditions, whether it be the food, whether it be how the dogs themselves look, call the authorities, pursue it. I think there should be some responsibility of the pet shop owners to ensure that the people that supply them are, you know, if you are indeed looking at their suppliers. And I mean, when you buy a, when you purchase a puppy now, particularly if it's an AKC and it's a costly puppy, we bought a Vizsla, you are guaranteed certain things. You know, you make sure the dogs have the shots. You make sure they're guaranteed against hip dysplasia. You know, these people, and the majority of the people out there, and I would hope that you would stress this, the majority of the people that are breeding are indeed in it for the bottom line. They're going to make money, but they also love the animals. And anyone that we have talked to over the past 5 years has always encouraged us to come back once the dog has grown, think back, come back to visit the mother, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, again, enforcement is the key. Public awareness is the key. And when people buy Dalmatians that have atrophied muscles and stuff like this, they should be reporting that and pursuing it and following it up. Yeah. And I'll take my comments off there, your comments off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, and you did, Eileen, but aren't there laws already on the books that prohibit cruelty and the types of conditions that you're describing?
Wisconsin's anti-cruelty or crimes against animals statute is 951, and all it does basically is provide that an animal must be given food, water, and shelter. Now, a dog that's in a pet shop glass box does have shelter. They have some food, they have some water. Same thing with breeding dogs. Most of these dogs are in some kind of enclosure. But the definition of what that enclosure should be is not clearly defined, nor is other very important factors like veterinary care and giving animals socialization, which is absolutely key to producing animals that are quality, and also having adults in conditions that are not stressful. Our current laws, trust me on this, I would not have spent the last 10 years trying to get better regulation for the pet breeding industry if I thought that our current laws were adequate. They are not. There are USDA-licensed facilities in Wisconsin. Those facilities, USDA regulations are horribly, horribly minimal, inadequate, and do not, it's not good enough for Wisconsin.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, Tom said that he went to about a dozen breeders, presumably in Wisconsin, and saw, you know, everything seemed fine, what he saw, that they weren't in really horrible conditions. Are we talking about the breeder that lives in our community, or are we talking about some big factory that supplies pet stores?
It sounds like Tom was very fortunate in his search for a dog, and that he happened to come upon what we consider to be quality hobby breeders. And these are people who truly, truly care about the animals that they have, the animals that they're producing. A quality breeder will stay connected. As Tom mentioned, the breeder that they bought from invited them to come back, invited their questions, made sure that they were given proper documentation for their puppy. That's a great quality breeder, and we certainly don't oppose that. What we do oppose is the person who is selling puppies, who you drive in their yard, and if you've got $300, you drive away with a puppy. Mm-hmm. These are people who are basically, as Tom pointed out, just in it for the money.
Next, we go to Bonnie in Madison. Hi, Bonnie.
Oh, hi, Joy. I have a couple of questions, but I just, you know, I have so many things I'd like to say, but of course I won't. But I can remember when Trish McConnell of Wisconsin Public Radio went with a local TV crew from your Calling All Pets show. She
right.
went out to visit a big puppy mill farm. I think it was in Columbia County, and she just was in tears at what she saw. It was just horrible. There were like hundreds of dogs on the property in a huge barn, and they bred the females over and over again. Didn't give them a break at all until they just wore out at half their age. Mm. And I think a lot of pet shops, from what I've read, do get their puppies from puppy mills.
Yeah. Apparently, Tom from Columbus didn't visit that place.
And I think there is some controversy about the AKC issuing papers on puppy mill puppies. My question would be, how many large-scale operations like this are in Wisconsin? I know in Pennsylvania, that's a big puppy mill state, as well as Missouri, but the Amish operate a lot of puppy mills, and I wonder if they do in Wisconsin. And if there is proposed legislation, and perhaps the second guest can answer this too, but could it be added that we could not allow in puppies from the big puppy mill states like Missouri or Pennsylvania, allow them into Wisconsin?
Yeah, I'll certainly ask our state representative, Steve Wickert from Appleton, when we have him on after the news, after the bottom of the hour. But Eileen, you can certainly comment on it, as well as how many of these operations are in Wisconsin. Do you have any idea?
We are estimating that there are at least 2,000 breeding operations in Wisconsin. Of those, there are about 55 that are USDA licensed. USDA only licenses people who are wholesaling dogs. That means that these are people who are selling to others, like pet stores, who are then retailing them. So by only looking at USDA-licensed facilities, we're not getting anywhere near licensing and inspection on the number of facilities that are in existence in Wisconsin under our estimates. The alarming fact is that the number of USDA-licensed facilities, these large wholesale operations, has increased by over 300%. In the last 5 years. And that is due to the fact that we have no regulatory environment here. People are just willing to come to Wisconsin because it's a free ride for them. And we are seeing a huge influx of these puppy mills moving from states that are regulated into Wisconsin, and that is very scary.
Yeah. Thank you, Bonnie. Peter in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. As a director of a dog rescue, I think one of the things that must be understood about this whole issue, beyond just the well-documented cases of cruelty and inhumane conditions of the dogs in these larger breeding operations, is that this country is producing just a huge explosion in the number of poor people in this country. And as a result, these are folks that can easily turn around every 6 months or so a batch of puppies. And venues like Craigslist and so forth enable them to, for free, promote their puppies. And until we look at the parallel track problem of an explosion of access to puppies, not only from the larger breeders, but from the small groups that are focused on breeding these dogs, we're not going to really address the complete problem.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Peter. We have news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio coming up. We'll continue to talk with Eileen Ribbons-Rohde, and we will welcome in State Representative Steve Wickert after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this Friday morning, June the 22nd. It's 6:36. We're talking about puppy mills in Wisconsin, with a guest who says that these larger-scaled puppy breeding operations need to be regulated in the state of Wisconsin better than they are right now. She is Eileen Ribbons-Rohde, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Puppy Mill Project. And we will welcome in now Republican State Representative from Appleton, Steve Wickert, who agrees. And Representative Wickert will draft legislation to deal with this issue, and we will continue to welcome your questions and comments about this. Our lines have been jammed so far this hour, with most of you agreeing that something must be done to clean up these puppy mills. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Steve Wickert, a Republican state representative from Appleton, joins us by telephone. Good morning. Oops, I put up the wrong button, but now you're there. Good morning.
Okay, good morning.
So you are going to draft some legislation to do something about this? What do you have in mind?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's a very important and very timely and relevant subject. It's important for us to treat our animals better. Our young puppies that are growing up, they just need special care. And there's a lot of very good breeders out there, and we want to encourage them to continue. But there's some bad actors out there, and those people need to clean up their act or leave the business.
Yeah. So something like establishing a number of animals as to which that breeder might be subject to inspection and licensing and more regulation?
Well, we're looking at all the options. We're looking at what other industries do to clean up their act, so to speak, and so we're considering all points of view. I think what we want to do is have it the least intrusive as possible, but still get to some of those objective standards that Eileen was talking about, that we could really make some improvements. We have puppies right now that are raised in just deplorable conditions, very small kennel sizes, for instance, being very undernourished, especially in their growing years, no access to veterinary care, all these issues. And if we can set up some standards and find some ways to enforce that so that the good people are still there and the bad people either get better or leave, that's good. One of the things I'd like to point out, too, is the problem that so many other states now are creating good breeders and creating conditions where only good breeders will be able to continue. If Wisconsin doesn't have something, all of a sudden we'll become more of a magnet for the bad actors or the people that don't breed dogs correctly. And, of course, dogs can be shipped across state lines easily. So Wisconsin, if we have no laws here, it's just going to make things worse because so many other states do have some very effective law.
Yeah. One thing we haven't talked about so far this hour is that there apparently is a meeting or a forum on Monday night that is sponsored by the Fox Valley Humane Association and the Wisconsin Puppy Mill Project that you will be attending. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. I'm helping coordinate that. 7 p.m. over at Fox Valley Technical College in Grand Chute, right next, just west of Appleton. And the idea is it's going to be a listening session, and I've asked some of my colleagues in the legislature to attend or send representatives if they can't make it. And we want to hear from everyone. We want to hear from the general public. We want to hear from people that own dogs. And we want to hear from Humane Society officials, which are very helpful in this area, as well as breeders and of all types, of large and small, and find out exactly what their feelings are. And specifically, we'd like to know what their recommendations are and how we can improve raising puppies in Wisconsin.
Apparently, this forum also takes place just a few days before the opening of a pet store in Appleton that some people are concerned about because the pet store apparently, you know, sells puppies that are supplied by large-scale breeders. Is there something in the legislation that would deal with that aspect of this, pet stores selling puppies from puppy mills?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd like to be able to tell you exactly line for line, idea for idea, what's in mm-hmm. the bill. We're still working mm-hmm. that out. We're constantly, we have a bill draft with our attorneys are drafting it with us, and we're constantly on the phone with them saying, well, can you make this change or try this or what about this concept? So it's just in the beginning stages. Right. The soup is being made right now, so to speak. It's not quite there yet. So to comment on specific ideas would be a little premature.
Right. And we did have a caller just before news time, and I know that the legislation is just in the drafting stage, but
right.
he seemed to be concerned not only about the large-scale breeders, the big commercial breeders, but also, hey, you know, as he put it, the low-income families can just, you know, sell, you know, puppy batch after puppy batch after puppy batch. Are you looking at that aspect at all?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Anyone can be a good breeder. Anyone can be a bad breeder.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, absolutely. You've got to be able to consider all that. And puppy, as you mentioned, can be born to just a small-scale breeder, a small family, or it can be by a huge international corporation. And a huge company may be able to do things right. Big does not necessarily mean bad. But we have to be careful about that, and we have to be open for inspections. And same with individual breeders. So we want to be careful. We don't want to discourage the small breeders, because I've known a number of breeders that are just excellent breeders, and I would have no question highly recommending their dogs. But other breeders, you know, may not be that way. So we have to. The object of the legislation is to look at the puppies, and the object is the safety and happiness and effective maturity and growth of the puppies, not who's doing the breeding, big or small.
Let me get a couple of calls for you. Arlene in New Berlin. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm glad you have this call, this program. I agree with the person that's on the line. I would like to see a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for? So there aren't that many breeders. I can't believe that there are a lot of people buying dogs. And the other thing is, I think they need to get these puppy mills out of the state. I see Animal Planet and what people do to animals, and sometimes we treat our human beings better than we treat animals, and vice versa.
Yeah.
But nobody's actually going out there and looking into it, and it frustrates me because I've owned several dogs, and I had a boxer that somebody wanted me to breed because she was a beautiful dog. But I said I don't have time, and there are too many breeders of boxers in the country that I should that I should breed my own dog.
Yeah.
I think it should be limited to very good breeders because I think there are way too many puppies that are being ruined.
Yeah, thank you, Arlene. Is there again? I know you're at the very preliminary stages,
sure.
But are you looking at limiting the number of breeders in Wisconsin?
Well, I think when we have quality standards, it'll be self-limiting, and the good people who are breeding the dogs will be there, and the bad actors will not be. That's our hope, certainly. The question is exactly how do we get there? Have the most buy-in, the most consensus-building effort to do so. But the caller is right. Some of the dogs are just being treated in fairly very deplorable conditions, and it's not only our duty to the dog, but also in terms of consumer protection, consumers and buyers of these animals need to know the quality of the dog they're getting. And just like, for example, when you buy a car, you know, in the old days, you know, buyer beware. You had no idea if you were buying a clunker or not. Now you go to this car dealership and you see in the car. A listing of all the things, if it was a used car, all the things that was checked on it, and what went right, what went wrong, things like that. With a dog, it's nice to know that you're buying the dog from a breeder who's raised the dog under certain minimal state standards of health and appropriateness that have been improved by the experts in the field, the Humane Society and veterinarians alike.
Yeah. Well, one more quick one. Ruth in Madison for our state lawmaker anyway. Ruth?
Yes, thank you so much for doing this, and I'm begging you to extend this law so that it extends not only to cats and dogs but also to exotics and avians and reptiles and perhaps even fish. I've got three spent parakeet hens here that were just bred to prolapse, you know, and I'm telling you, it's just horrible! What the conditions they're breeding now? They're selecting for precocious breeding instead of selecting for good qualities, especially domesticity. Birds have never been bred for domesticity.
Yeah. Ruth, I gotta hold it there because we have a weather break. Representative Wickard, other animals besides puppies?
Well, I think in the long term, I think that's a great idea, and the sooner we get there, the better. We want to know the animals need to be raised in a quality condition that presents the least stress as possible. I think if we get the model going, for example, with dogs and things and our puppies, and later on expand that in a consensus way, and everyone says, hey, the program works well, let's grow it. And I think that's a good direction to go into, because animals are selected sometimes just for their breeding capacity, not capabilities, not because they're the qualities that the owners necessarily want.
Well, if our calls are any indication, Representative Wickert, you're going to have a big crowd there on Monday night. So.
Well, good. The bigger the better.
All right. Thanks a lot for being with us.
My pleasure.
Steve Wickert, Republican State Representative from Appleton, will continue talking with the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Puppy Mill Project after we check the weather. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock, coming up after 7 o'clock. Some journalists who give us the news are also giving politicians campaign contributions. Is this right? Is this ethical? We'll talk about journalists and political contributions and an investigative report that just came out the other day that says that there are journalists out there that are doing this, and more of them, anyway, according to this story, are giving to Democratic causes and candidates. We'll talk about that coming up after 7 o'clock. We continue now talking about regulating puppy mills with Eileen Ribbons-Rohde, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Puppy Mill Project. We just heard from Steve Wickert, Republican State Representative from Appleton, who agrees that something needs to be done and will be drafting legislation to regulate these dog breeders. There will be a meeting at the Fox Valley Technical College in Appleton on Monday night, this coming Monday night at 7 o'clock, which is a meeting that is sponsored by the Fox Valley Humane Association and the Wisconsin Puppy Mill Project. And what is it, Eileen, that you hope to accomplish at this meeting on Monday night?
This Appleton Roundtable is part of a series of roundtable discussions that we're holding around the state. And the purpose is to bring our legislators together with their constituents to hear about the issue of puppy mills, to listen to their constituents who have had problems with puppies they have purchased or that they've had in their homes, to hear from humane societies and breed rescue people about the problem, and also to hear from quality breeders about the difference between what they do and what the puppy millers are up to.
Mm-hmm. Debbie in Whitewater is with us now. Hi, Debbie.
Hi there. I do not believe additional legislation is the answer to this problem. One of the reasons is that the question that you first posed to your guest, Joy, was what is the definition of a puppy mill, for example? Would it be a farmer who is, willy-nilly raising puppies? And your guest had a very hard time sort of answering that question, as did the representative. Big is not necessarily bad, et cetera, et cetera. If you enact legislation as other states have done, what you do is you drive the good breeders, quote, out of business, and you have nothing left but puppy mills.
Yeah, why would it drive the good breeders out of business, Debbie?
Because typically the types of requirements, cement floors, drains, all that sort of thing that are part of the inspection process are too onerous for the hobby breeder.
Mm. Now, what about that, Eileen?
I have to disagree. I cannot imagine that standards would be set that wouldn't allow quality breeders to continue to run a quality breeding operation in their own home. We absolutely support the quality breeders, and they're raising puppies in their homes, which this whole misnomer of, oh, you have to have concrete floors and floor drains, that is just an argument that's being put out to scare people, and I don't see us going in that direction. On the other hand, we can't expect this to be piecemeal legislation, and as the representative stated, standards need to be set. But we advocate for those standards to include the fact that puppies raised in a home, in a clean, quality home environment, is superior to the kennel raising of puppies.
Thank you very much, Debbie, for the call. Michael in Platteville is with us now. Hi, Michael.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
My thing is, I agree with Debbie in the sense of government needs to stay out of this. As consumers, we need to be more active with our dollars and research where we're going to get our puppies from. I had one litter myself, and I'll tell you, I'll never do it again. It was too much work, and it was too much mess in my house.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if the government does want to get involved, they need to issue tax credits for Humane Society pickups. If you go to the Humane Society and you get an animal, that's where the government should say, hey, we're going to benefit you and give you a tax credit of some sort, not legislation. I think that the American consumer is getting lazy, and we need to pursue where we get our products from.
Yeah, so encourage people to get their pets from the Humane Society with a tax credit and educate them not to buy from breeders. What do you think of that, Eileen Ribbons?
We have been working for years as a humane community in Wisconsin to encourage people to adopt animals from breed rescues and humane societies rather than purchase them. That years of hard work and education has not stopped the puppy mills. Education alone will not work. And I'd love it if there was a tax credit to people who adopted animals rather than purchased them. But I don't see that happening. I was interested in the comment that any legislation or standards will put good breeders out of business. There is no example in any state that has legislation where quality breeding has stopped. That is also not a very good argument, in my
mm-hmm.
opinion.
Mm-hmm. Anne in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. It sounds like the legislation is addressing, you know, the conditions where the puppies are being bred, which I think is great. But I'm wondering if it's also going to look at diseases. For example, I purchased a Labrador Retriever, thought I did a good job. Both parents, the hips were guaranteed. But that really doesn't mean anything. I still have a dog that was diagnosed with hip dysplasia, and it's a terrible disease. You know, to replace hips, you're looking at $10,000, which a lot of people just can't afford. And I guess, you know, what bothers me is that this breeder is continuing, even though I alerted them that it's a genetic disease, that, you know, a puppy was born with hip dysplasia, they're continuing to breed those same dogs. And I'm sure there's other ones out there that are, you know, being born with the dysplasia. I'm wondering if there's going to be anything to say, okay, there's a problem in this line. You can't continue to produce more puppies from these two parents.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think of that, Eileen?
I think that it is a consumer advocacy issue. I think that our caller has touched on a very important issue, that animals that are not properly bred will end up costing the consumer thousands of dollars in vet care, and that creates a hardship for the animal and for the consumer. In a case like hers, if we had standards and we had a program, at the very least, she would have a department to go to and issue these complaints, and then the inspector could address that with the breeder, possibly creating a stronger argument that these two animals, or whatever the pairing of animals was that created them, should not continue to be bred.
Eileen in Brookfield, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I keep hearing people saying, basically, you know, let the market take care of this, and, you know, consumers should beware. Well, you know, we can't be. We don't know where these animals from pet stores come from. And these are companion animals. This is what we purchase them as. And as companion animals, then they need to be raised as companion animals. And they can't be on a large scale kennel sort of place. This can only be done if they are raised in homes where they're going to live. That's the way it has to be done. They're pack animals, and if they're allowed to pack up, they from their very earliest moments, then they are learning to only relate to dogs very well, and they're also learning pack mentality. And so they do need to be raised individually by people who know what they're doing. And I have to also say, I don't think the pet store should sell them. And it's not just dogs. It's cats, it's birds, it's everything. I think they should be pet supply stores, because there is no interest in the quality of them. There's the interest of moving them through the pet stores. And if they don't have to take care of the animals, they can probably make more money if they're not wasting money on feeding these animals.
Yeah. Do you want to talk some about what kind of regulation you might want to see on pet stores, Eileen?
One of the things that we had included in past proposals is that there would be standards of care for pet store animals. We get complaints all the time from people who go into pet stores and observe horrible conditions for birds and reptiles and small mammals, along with dogs and cats. So I do agree with the caller that some kind of standards, although perhaps this cannot be so far-reaching as to touch all breeding of all species, pet species at this time, the least thing we should be able to do is provide for decent conditions in pet shops. I would advise everybody to avoid buying pets at pet stores. It is just a money-driven market, and your chances of getting a quality pet at a pet store are minimal.
We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. Eileen Rody, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Puppy Mill Project. For more information, you can go to knowwisconsinpuppymills.com. And that meeting is Monday night in Appleton at the Fox Valley Technical College. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager and Christy Taylor for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.